Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Yabba dabba do, or should I say, abba zabba do? Charmin, Abby Charmin, I am interviewing Abba Zabba. I'm interviewing Abby Charmin, ambassador for Same You, stroke survivor, and all-around amazing human being. Boom, intro done. Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Lauren.
And we are
the Neuro Nerds. Yes, that was on time.
I feel pretty good about that.
Neuro Nerds.
Welcome to the Neuro Nerds. I see a pattern forming here. Say it every week, mean it every week. Very special episode with me, not in studio. Live on Squadcast is my new dear friend, Abby Charmin. What's up, Abby? How we doing?
Okay. Thank you for inviting me to this terrifying experience.
Now, she says terrifying because she has to talk to me. That in and of itself is frightening. I get that. Abby, we have recently become friends. We haven't been friends very long, but I think we've kind of connected like on a different level, like really quickly. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think I started doing the Clubhouse rooms in April, and you weren't there the first couple of weeks. But yeah, after our first call together, we connected pretty quickly. You reached out like you do, and I became comfortable with you remarkably quickly, which is like, I don't become comfortable with people even after knowing them for years. So that was noteworthy.
I appreciate that. You know, I do. And I'm really glad that you said how we met. Because I don't know if you know this or not, Abby. I have a brain injury, so I constantly forget.
I think I've heard about that.
I constantly forget how I meet people. And it sucks because I'm like, okay, this has become one of my dearest friends, and I don't remember how I met said person. And this just goes down the line. I don't remember how I meet people. Now I remember we did meet on Clubhouse. We did. And I was like, oh, wow, this chick's pretty cool. And then I think I was like, yeah, let's chat. Let's connect. And then we talked and we just talked for like hours. And it's like, oh, yeah, Abby, you're dope. Like, let's chat more. And yeah. I realized you're super dope and we become like super homies. And now we are chatting on my podcast, which warms my heart. That being said, Abby, how are you part of this brain injury community?
Okay, so my story takes a different shape than a lot of people in this community.
Right.
Where actually, before recording this, I had to sit down with my mom and kind of try to put things in chronological order and make sense of it myself, because it is just kind of this blur and this mess in my mind. I'll give you a little context for the story. Mm-hmm. This started the summer before my senior year in Munich, Germany. And so I was halfway through the IB program. And anyone who knows the IB program knows it's it's ridiculously intensive and difficult. Like IB students, they like to joke that in IB, you have to choose two parts of your life that you can actually fulfill out of social, school, and sleep. And yeah, like
and usually, you can only have two of those?
You can have two of them. So it wasn't, yeah, it was a stressful time. And that summer, I'd say, is probably when I look back on it and start to see the beginnings of symptoms cropping up. But I wasn't too worried because I had a history, like I was never the healthiest kid. Mm-hmm. I had a history of some health issues. And so I figured it was just kind of more of the same. Like, you know, I had a growth disorder where I had to inject myself with hormones twice a day for 2 years.
Oh my goodness. How old were you when that happened?
That would have been freshman and sophomore year. So ages 14 to 16. My bone age at that time, like I hadn't grown at all since I was 10. My bone age said I was like 10. And it just turned out that I was deficient of a growth hormone called IGF-1. So
that's a lot of letters and numbers that I normally wouldn't use to describe a human being. That's that's wild. You were so young. Like that, literally. So to me, like you're just becoming a young adult at that age.
Yeah.
That alone is too much, let alone injecting yourself with things that your body is missing. That's wild.
Yeah. And then, you know, there were just some other things like a bad mono infection and some sinus issues. So it's like, okay, probably just having chronic sinusitis again, whatever, because it was things like fatigue and brain fog and, you know, headaches, things like that. And as fall of my senior year went on, things kind of started to steadily get worse. I developed a tremor in my right hand. It started to become difficult to, I was a very fit person. I exercised like 45 minutes a day, like 6 days a week. And I started to become difficult to go up the stairs in school or go from classroom to classroom. And it's like I would stand up and it would become hard to breathe and I would get dizzy and feel like I was going to faint. And I think one of the things that was one of the first major warning signs was, if you know, that wasn't
those are a lot of signs.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm thick. You kind of have to bang me over the head to get my attention sometimes. But my teachers, I'd been at that school since I was a sophomore, and my history teacher at parent-teacher conference that fall, like brought my mom in and showed her this essay that I had done. And I was very academically successful. It was, I'd say, one of the only things I was kind of confident about me. And so he knew, I'd had him since I was in 10th grade, he knew like what my work was like. Right. And he showed her this in-class essay and how my ideas were scattered, how my handwriting was illegible and all over the place. Okay. And he just like looked at her and was like, is something wrong? And my mom was like, maybe, don't know.
Thank goodness that you had an observant, caring teacher. Yeah. That's a big deal. Yeah. You know, to be honest, not a lot of them out there, at least not when I was going to school.
Yeah, no, my teachers, at least like my higher level teachers were great through this. And I was a big help. So that December, I would say, is when I really started to get concerned, but I was still kind of trying to rationalize it. I could only get out of bed like half the time. And I just was having to work harder and harder to do basic things. And it's like we went to an ENT in London who said like, oh, maybe you should, with your previous problems, you should go see an endocrinologist see an immunologist. The immunologist told me to see an endocrinologist, and it's just kind of being passed around.
That must have been really, really difficult, you know, because like I say for like a million different reasons. One of them is you are, again, you're at that age where you're becoming like a young adult. Mm-hmm. Everything is kind of wild in and of itself. And now you feel that something is wrong and nobody is telling you what's wrong. They're just saying, hey, just go over there now.
Yeah. The immunologist was, all of these trips were memorable for different reasons, but the immunologist is, sticks out in my mind because, I went to see him and he basically, it was the first time that someone told me that it was like, it was because of mental health issues. And so he kind of sent me on my way with a boatload of Valium.
come on.
Yeah. So that was a fun time. And again, this is all kind of swirls around in my head this period of time.
It's a lot. It's not like you went to one place in one country. You globetrotted around the world while being passed around from, you know, one doctor to the next doctor. And then look, what this reminds me of, and I don't know if it's a sexist thing, I don't know if it's an ageist thing, but I remember there's several female brain injury survivors and they just kind of get brushed over with the things that are going on in their life. Mimi Hayes, my dear Mimi, she, oh, well, you're just feeling this way because you broke up with your boyfriend and you're having a panic attack. It's like, no, it's not that.
Yeah.
Do you think any of that had something to do with some of their referrals? Like, oh, well, you're just a kid. You're just a woman, a young lady, and your hormones are going crazy. Do you think that had something to do with it?
Oh, for sure. Listeners couldn't see this, but I was nodding emphatically as you were talking about what happened to Mimi, because that's definitely a part of it. Is people like to think of doctors as kind of neutral, but they have their biases like the rest of us. They take certain people more seriously than others. Some of the groups they take less seriously are women, are people of color, are fat people, are, you know,
and young people too. The fact that you were so young, obviously you don't know what's going on with your own mind, body, and soul because you're so young. Yeah. Also, you're a woman, clearly you're hysterical.
Yeah. there's a long history of that for sure. Right. And I was not, like, I didn't have the confidence to believe myself. Like, right. As like, okay, they are the doctors, they're the experts. They know. So it was, you know, I started to feel like I was crazy. And that made it more, that definitely made the whole situation more difficult.
That's infuriating, Abby. It is. It's frustrating enough going through something that you can't explain. You're going to find answers. Mm-hmm. Like if you take a step back, you were young, you're still a teenager, mm-hmm. right? You're going to an adult. Yeah. A professional adult to say, hey, so I don't really know what's going on with me, but something is going on with me. And they just kind of passed you over and just brushed you off. I can't stand that. It happens so much more often than, and I don't want to say more often than not, but it's way, way too common for this to happen. You know, it's disrespectful. It's unprofessional. Oh, I'm so sorry that you had to deal with that. And the fact that they're just like, oh, take some drugs.
Yeah.
Valium, by the way, those are drugs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't end up taking it because I hated how it made me feel. Yeah. So by that spring is when things really, like, over a period of maybe like 4 months, by the time I realized that the future that I had assumed I would have mm-hmm. was slipping through my fingers, it was already gone. Because, like, I only really kind of recognized that something really serious was going on in, like, around March. Because you just, you know, you're young, you think you'll get over it. You think doctors will tell you something and fix it.
You're invincible. You're a kid. Nothing bad's going to happen.
Yeah. And so I started going to school less and less. I I couldn't make it through the school day. And when I was at school, I would retreat to the nurses. And fortunately, one of my close friends, his mom, was a school nurse.
Oh, good.
And she was very kind, and she would let me hang out in there when I just couldn't handle school.
Right.
And we ended up scheduling a trip back to the US in April because we're like, we're not getting anywhere. And my mom didn't feel satisfied with the answers that the doctors had given us.
Because they gave you shit answers, Abby. Sorry.
Yeah. So we go back to the US, and thankfully I find there's an internist who takes me seriously and gives me a few diagnoses. Like, first she diagnosed me with chronic fatigue syndrome. She said I probably had dysautonomia and something called POTS.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar.
Yeah. And so she was like, I can give you some medication for your blood pressure and for your tachycardia and other things like that, which, yeah, again, was helpful because the endocrinologist that I had seen in Germany for my blood pressure, she had recommended I alternate between jumping into a pool of hot water and a pool of cold water and scrubbing myself vigorously with a bristle brush. And I was like, yes, this is a sustainable solution.
Oh, hold on. That just that hurt my head for a second. Abby, are you kidding?
No.
Thank you to our amazing community on Patreon for supporting this podcast.
You can support us too and get different perks and gifts depending on which Neuro Jedi tier you sign up for. For example, if you're on our Neuro Padawan $5 tier, then you're probably listening to this episode a day early before its public release.
Your support helps us grow and continue to create this podcast. Plus, a portion of the proceeds go to a different cause or individual in the brain injury survivor community each month. Sign up at patreon.com/theneuronerds. Did you go to a witch doctor? What kind of...
She actually studied at Harvard Medical School.
Did she, though? Did she really study?
She did. I feel she wasn't lying.
The only thing, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if she's like, you know what? I think we're just going to bring in the leeches because that seems like it's a good idea. Are you kidding me? That was her functional idea to help you with your blood pressure. You know, always have readily available a tub full of hot water and then another secondary tub full of cold water and bristled brushes to vigorously scrub your body. That's so strange. That doesn't, it sounds like it's made up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was in that trip in April that was kind of come to Jesus time.
Right.
That appointment actually with the internist took place on April 1st. I didn't know this, but my mom told me this. And I was like, yeah, that's appropriate. So I had to make the decision not to take my IB exams. So I wasn't going to get the IB diploma because I just couldn't.
It's been hard.
And yeah, thankfully my school allowed me to graduate with like a normal high school diploma.
Good.
But you know, a lot of hard work was kind of down the drain, and it was hard because they will like give you your predicted grades and give you the diploma if you have like a good excuse. But I didn't have an excuse I could give them that they were satisfied with.
Because your doctors were awful at the time. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. That's awful.
Yeah. And so I got a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. I left the States in a wheelchair. And yeah, it was, you know, I was like, oh, also, I had to decide to defer university.
Okay.
I realized I couldn't go to college the next year. So then I go back and I'm just kind of waiting around while my peers do their exams. And I invited two friends over to decorate my wheelchair. I named him Barnaby, trying to like make him more approachable, if not for myself, then for others.
Right.
And we posted pictures of us decorating him on Facebook so that when I showed up to graduation, there wouldn't be complete shock. So yeah, I guess, you know, I graduated. I showed up for the rehearsal and in a wheelchair. And the first thing I hear is someone not even like bothering to whisper, turning to the person next to them and being like, "Why the F is she in a wheelchair, man? What's wrong with her?" And I was like,
ugh, I can't stand that person. Yes, that person in particular, but I'm talking about like that type of person overall. Ugh, those people are miserable human beings. I can't stand them.
Which is like, you know, these days that wouldn't like bother me, but at that time I was like still very sensitive.
You were so fresh. It had just happened. You know what I mean? You're still adapting and adjusting. Like you just said, you named your wheelchair not just for you, but for other people, you know, but also for you. You're like trying to be comfortable in this new, I guess, like figuring out your new normal, right? Like, is this is like life now? Is this, am I good with this? You know, like people, I just wish people were a little bit more kind.
Yeah. They're teenagers.
And I've said this forever. Kids are dicks. Sorry. Yeah.
No, they are. They are. And it's like, at least in my quite like privileged international school, like my peers, most of them hadn't gone through something like that yet. They hadn't gone through something that's like an all-encompassing, like hard thing that just kind of turns your life upside down. So it was just like, it's like we were speaking different languages. It's like I was trying to explain like what color was to people who only saw black and white.
Yes. Wow, Abby, that's a brilliant way to describe life after a brain injury.
Yeah.
Trying to explain that to a normie. Yeah, no, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, like my mom and I have come to refer to it as like living behind the plexiglass because it brings to mind like those TV prisons where there's like glass between like the person who's incarcerated and the visitor, and like they have those little like phones, and it's just you're in a completely different world. There's like the free to go side, and then there's us who live here. it was a lot.
I can only imagine, because again, as said, kids are dicks. They could be kind of the worst. And you say they hadn't had, you know, an experience like that yet. To be honest, Abby, most people go through their lives without having anything remotely close to even a fraction of what you had gone through up until that point. You know, it's you're on a whole nother level. Like you're your own, you're in your own category. You really are, you know, and it helps you mature. Obviously, when something like that happens, it takes you have a different appreciation and a different way that you go about life, which is, you know, which is why I think actually we got along really well, because it's like, oh, yeah, clearly you're wise and mature beyond your years because of these things that have happened to you. But what I do appreciate, too, is that you just didn't like cave. You're here with a smile on your face and you're doing amazing things. I love that. So what exactly did they diagnose you with?
That's its whole own story. It takes 6.5 years to get that diagnosis.
No. So, wait, why so long?
Honestly, I think we've asked ourselves that question.
Right.
And it's hard to know because like I did have brain MRIs that like now when like I had a doctor recently look back at those brain MRIs and was like, oh yeah, it's there. But they didn't catch it on them. I guess I've learned since that it will sometimes take 5 radiologists to catch everything in a scan. But you know, that's not the system. It was missed. It turns out it was a herniation of my cerebellum. It's a type of herniation called a Chiari malformation. And I acquired it at some point about the time I was 17. And it could have been for a number of reasons, but I don't know that we'll ever know for sure because it's like, there's not a ton of research into Chiari, and it's not something that like, they're like, okay, we found the problem. We fixed the problem. It's how it got there is kind of immaterial to them. Right. Obviously for me, it's like
making, it's a huge deal. It's your body.
Making sense of things. It feels more important. But yeah, so that is what had happened. And it's really weird looking back at all that I went through in that time, knowing now, like, that was there. It's like, right. Just because it's like, it was there, but because it wasn't seen, it was just like, I don't know. It was just, I was treated completely differently.
Not just different, Abby. You were treated incorrectly because they missed something that they should not have missed.
Yeah. So it's like it was kind of there were a lot of things going on that made the process pretty painful. Mm-hmm. After Munich, we were moving back to Oregon, mm-hmm. where I was from. But you know, it had been 7 years since we lived there. So we didn't know, like, people had moved on, understandably. And so we didn't really have a support system there. So we were kind of on our own, just me and my mom mostly. My dad was mostly at work. He's kind of a workaholic. And like, my mom is amazing. And like, she believed me when I didn't believe me. Sorry.
She's mom. That's okay. It's okay. Look, Abby, this is a lot. And it hurts my soul that you had to go through this, and I'm angry for you. You know, now during this process, would you like characterize yourself as an angry person? Did you become bitter? Was it frustration? What was it?
No, I would say I didn't really start to feel anger about this until the last year or so.
Okay.
Because at the time, it was just, I didn't necessarily see it that way. I mean, I was, that first year back in Oregon, I would stand up in the bathroom and I would just like repeat to myself in my head, like, it's all in your head, nothing's wrong. It's all in your head, nothing's wrong. And like, the room would be spinning and I couldn't like breathe and I would feel like I was going to collapse. Right. And I'd sit down before that happened, but I was just like, I should be able to think this away, because the problem is my thinking. So I don't know why this is happening when I'm like, when I like, no, it's not real.
Right. Because these doctors, these adults, these professionals are telling me it's not real. And it's their job to find out what's wrong with me. And they say nothing is wrong with me and it's in my head. So clearly it's my fault. Fuck.
That was that caused me a lot of guilt, because I was like, I brought my mom's life down with me. Because, you know, she was pretty much a full-time caregiver. That first year, especially, I hadn't found how to manage things. And so I was pretty much housebound. And it was pretty rough. You know, I was watching the rest of my peers on like social media, be in like uni and like going on with their lives. And I was laying on the couch, stuck upstairs because I couldn't go up and downstairs. So I was trapped in a room on the couch watching, you know, The Price is Right with all the other old people in America. And I was like, I could relate to all of the targeted ads for the old people.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
Damn, that Acorn Stairlift is a fine piece of equipment. You know, I need me one of them.
Wow. That, you mature, and you might have matured way too much, but yeah, you have to mature and grow so quickly. You know?
Yeah.
And the things that you see your peers doing, yeah, that's just not in your wheelhouse at that moment. So what was in your wheelhouse? Plinko on The Price is Right, which, by the way, is like the dopest game ever.
It is. It really is. Mesmerizing. And like, really, my only connection to that life, that kind of life that everyone had moved on to, was my person, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
We started becoming friends when everything was going down. Right. And it's like she didn't expect me to be the same person, but she treated me like the same person. Where other people, other peers kind of started treating me like I was a wild animal. They just didn't know what to do with me. Right. And so she was a lifeline. Her and my mom were like my two main people and still are.
Right. Hey, Jess and mom, I appreciate the heck out of both of you guys. You guys are both queens and I appreciate you. I think it's really hard too, because as it's been hammered in, I'll hammer it in some more. Kids are dicks, right? So they don't necessarily think, oh, wow, this person has an ailment. This person has something going on with them. Let me be kind. And also let me not treat them like a leper, right? They're just a person. Treat them like a person. Respect them. They have something going on. Just be kind, you know? And I'm thankful that you actually found your person in Jess to treat you as who you are. You're just a regular person. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days like everyone else. You know, you may need a little bit of extra TLC and that's fine. You know, that's it's not asking too much. I'm glad you found your person though. Like sincerely, it's very difficult. And it was going through recovery from anything can be a very lonely journey. And I'm happy that you've had your mom and Jess there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I know people who have had circumstances that are in some ways similar to mine and that didn't have like a supportive family or a caregiver like I did. And I'm just grateful every day that my mom is who she is, because that like I wouldn't be here if she wasn't who she is.
Sadly, you know, it's much more common than not for people just to be like, yeah, I gotta go. Not that your mom could, because she's your mom, but she didn't have to be as kind, you know, as she's been through this. And as for your friend Jess, look, it's not the easiest thing in the world to befriend somebody who's either chronically ill, who's recovering from any type of brain ailment. You know, it takes a special person to stick around and figure out, hey, oh, okay, this is what, this is how you function, right? And it's not that it's abnormal. It is normal. It's just our normal, you know, just like everybody else's. Everybody else has their own thing. We don't treat everybody exactly the same because some people are slightly different. They were raised differently, you know, culturally, religiously, whatever it is. We all grow up differently. That's what makes this world so beautiful. You are just one of those people. You have a few extra awesome things about you that we have to figure out. And once you do, look how amazing you are, Abby.
Well, and I feel like it's because of, when you meet people that have gone through difficult things like we have, you can connect with them on a different level.
Agreed.
Than you can others.
Nerd alert!
It's like, my nerd is showing, but in Doctor Who, there is this creature called the Ood, and they have they hold half of their brain in their hands. And they communicate with each other like telepathically, and they're really gentle and connect with each other deeply. But it's like, they're also really vulnerable to people because, you know, they have their brain in front of them. I kind of feel like we're like that. Like people say we're broken, but I kind of like to think we're more like opened.
Like never broken. Abby, we are battered and bruised, but we are never broken.
Yeah,
ever.
I kind of feel like we're like the Ood. We're like open, and I don't know. There's just, we have kind of our own little superpower of being able to connect to each other in the way that we do.
Are you a stroke or brain injury survivor looking for a community and support? Well, the NeuroNerds are here to help. Join our hashtag USORock Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/USORock to connect with other survivors like you.
Plus, read other inspirational brain injury survivor stories on Joe's blog at josorocks.com/USORock and submit your stories there as well. We want to hear them.
And remember,
you so rock.
Stop laughing at us.
Oh, finding this community after not having a community for most of this time was just like everything.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. Isn't it? I mean, I can only imagine. You know what? I take that back immediately. I can't even imagine. My first year or so, almost year and a half of recovery, it was just me. Yeah. It was just me. And I was isolated and I was lonely, I had people around. Isolation and loneliness, that doesn't come from having nobody around. It comes from not being understood.
Yeah. And that isolation is battery acid to the soul.
it's toxic. It's not good. It drains your life force. It does. It's not living, Abby. And I think you understand this more than anybody because you did it at such a young age. It's not living. It's existing. And barely at that. Like, what am I doing? I'm just here. I'm not enjoying things because I don't really understand and I can't really connect to other people because nobody understands what's going on.
Well, and I don't understand what's going on. Like,
that's the worst.
Because it's like there wasn't an event. It's like I'm still dealing with all this stuff now. It's like,
right,
there wasn't like any drama or like hospital stay or anything that really demarcated the before and the after.
Right.
It's like I just kind of woke up one day. I was where I was, and it felt like I was drowning in plain sight, and everyone like could see me, but everyone was like, "Oh no," it was acting like everything was normal.
Right.
And it's like, I didn't have an explanation for myself. I couldn't give others an explanation. And I didn't feel like I had a right to be sick, to be going through what I was going through. And so like being sick is like sucks enough, but like not,
it does,
not feeling like you can, like you have the right to be sick. It's its own thing.
Well, yeah. That's what comes with misdiagnosis.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of unneeded guilt that you grew up, because that's what you were doing, Abby. You were growing up. You were becoming an adult and you were dealt the worst hand possible. Now, alone, if you think about it, you know, dealing with the things that you were dealing with, if they found all that stuff right away and they're like, so this is what this is and this is what's going on, and if they knew from jump everything that was going on, that in and of itself would have been one of the most difficult things to live with, mm-hmm. to grow up with, to become from teenager to young adult. That would have been such a difficult hand that you were given. It didn't end up that way. It was significantly worse. It was significantly worse.
Yeah, it's like coming on here, I was like, what do I talk about? Because it's like there were so many different stages and so many different elements to this. I'm like, it was 6.5 years and I don't know. I'm sure I'll get off this call and be like, I missed this and this and this. Like,
I missed, there was so much more. If you think that's bad, just wait till she remembers everything.
But like, look,
you've done one thing that I find fascinating, because the more I talk to you, the more I'm like, wow, this was such a difficult thing to go about. And the way everything was laid out to you was just, to be honest, it just wasn't fair. Okay. Every time I talk to you, a big smile on your face, you're happy, even when you're struggling physically, spiritually, energetically, you know, like you're like, yeah, you know, it's like I'm a little bit run down, whatever it is, you're still upbeat and you're just such a kind person where you have kind of every right to kind of be a dick. You could be, hey, life dealt me this hand. I'm going to be mean because I'm going to act out because of all of these things that have happened to me. You haven't done that. And I just find that so beautiful about you. I think that's why we become homies. Like, you have all the rights to be a certain way, but you're not. You're the opposite. You're one of the kindest, sweetest people I've ever known.
I mean, I have my moments and I've gone through, it's like, I definitely haven't gone through all this with grace. It's like, it's been gritty and messy. But it's like, I learned pretty early on that, one of like, my main coping mechanisms was like sense of humor, because it's like when you experience these things, like you kind of get a peek behind like the curtain of like how absurd a lot of life really is. And a lot of situations that you are put in when this is your life are pretty absurd. And it's like, if you're going to it's either like you have to be able to have a sense of humor about it in order to survive. It's that or drugs. And it's,
well, you did have a lot of Valium.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I could have just, you know, held on to that. Like, okay, one afternoon I can think of that kind of shows some of the absurdity of the life that I was living was I went to when Jess would visit like once or twice a year, and that was like the only time of year I would really do things. I would like save it all up for like those 2 or 3 weeks. So we went to Vegas.
Ooh, you party animal.
Yeah, you know, I like to rage, as we've established. And like in the course of maybe like 2 hours, I go from being stopped on the strip by an evangelical family who want to heal me, which of course I let them do because I am too scared to tell them otherwise. I'm like, okay, sure.
Oh, Abby.
You can heal me. And then like maybe like 30 minutes later, this Chippendales stripper dressed as a cowboy turns to me and like screams out, "I've got valet parking for you right over here, baby," while like, you know, emphatically with an with an emphatic pelvic thrust. And I'm like, yeah, this is ridiculous. This is just like
I gotta tell you, you might have had a better chance of being healed by the Chippendale stripper. Just saying.
It's a different kind of healing.
Have you ever seen the movie Joker?
No, I haven't.
Okay, but there's a line in Joker where he said, you know, I used to look at my life as a tragedy. Mm-hmm. Turns out, it's a comedy.
Are you finding it hard to recover at home after stroke? Find out if Motus Nova can help you by taking their free online assessment at motusnova.com/theneuronerds. If you haven't heard of Motus Nova, they make devices to help folks with a brain injury, like stroke, regain the use of their affected limbs. For example, the Motus Hand is an AI-powered robotic exoskeleton that helps users do exercises and play games, similar to the way an occupational or a physical therapist might manipulate the limb. It helps survivors get in the thousands of repetitions they need to form new neural pathways. It can assist with hand movements or resist them to provide a personalized exercise experience. If this sounds like something you want to try, visit motusnova.com/theneuronerds to learn more. Use special code TheNeuroNerds when you sign up and get a month free with the 30-day challenge. Just visit motusnova.com/TheNeuroNerds to get started.
Now, if you look at the ridiculous nature of every step of your life, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of us can do the same. We can have a pity party. We could be angry. We could be upset and bitter. We don't want to be that. Like, if you really take a step back and look at it, it's pretty damn ridiculous, Abby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You look at the misdiagnosis, the fact that you know something is clearly wrong with you because it's your body. And for doctors to literally say, it's in your head. Here are some drugs. That is ridiculous. It doesn't even seem like in real life. This seems like something in a movie. It would happen. And it's no impossible, but no, it's not in a movie. This is your life. I'm happy that you can use humor to kind of balance out your emotions, because I do that all the time. Another reason why I think we get along.
Yeah. And then like the other side of like why I think I have the attitude that I do is like, if I feel like I have to do something good with what has happened to me, I have to like help people, because otherwise it's just been pain for the sake of pain. And
right, the purpose be the purpose for your pain is what you're looking for.
Yeah, right? And it's like, I'm not someone who believes that everything happens for a reason, but because of what I've been through, I have a certain perspective and certain, I can just help people in a way that maybe other people can't. Like, my goal in life is to become a therapist, a mental health therapist for people who have faced life-changing health concerns or injury, or just because I'm like, I understand in a way that I don't think a lot of people would. So, and I want to use that.
Well, a lot of people can't. You experienced it. You know, this is what's frustrating about dealing with doctors. You're the experts of what's happening to you. They're reading books. You know what I mean? So if you're saying, hey, I'm feeling this way, and they're like, well, no, I'm feeling this way. So take that and figure out why I'm feeling this way. Not hysterics,
yeah.
Not hormones, not because a boy dumped me and I'm feeling. No, it's not that. It's this is what I'm feeling. Do your damn job, doctor. Yeah, I'm attacking doctors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about you, doc.
Yeah. I think it's funny that like we really haven't learned as a human race at every stage. We've thought that like we understood the human body, we understood the world around us, we thought we had crap figured out, and
we know nothing.
And time and time again we were proven wrong, and time and time again we had the same attitude, right. And so it's like, but again, everyone, we still believe that we kind of have this attitude that we know everything about the human body.
Right.
And it's like, yes, I have an explanation for what happened to me, but a lot of people don't. But that doesn't mean that there isn't something going on. It's just right. Like, we don't understand what's going on yet. It's like I remember I was watching Dr. House. It was such a bad move to watch that show in the middle of all this. Like, he looked like freaking Santa Claus to me. He was handing out diagnoses, he was treating people, and it was such a bad idea. But anyway, in one episode, he was talking about how, okay, this guy can't have this because there's not a lymphatic system in the brain. And literally the last month, a paper had come out saying, we discovered a lymphatic system in the brain. And I was like, see, this is evidence of this inaction.
Things change. We learn. We grow. Neuro nerds, Nerd Joe, Marvel nerd. In Thor, I remember him talking about, he's like, what you call on Earth science and what your ancestors would call magic, I come from a place that's one in the same.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, if you don't know something, like back in the day, they're like, oh, it's magic, it's witchcraft. And mm-hmm. then, you know, when you figure out the science, it's like, oh, it wasn't witchcraft. It was science, right? Yeah, that still happens today. There's a lot of stuff that we don't know. I know recently, so all science says that nothing should be able to come out of a black hole. Yeah, mm-hmm. maybe several months back, something came out of a black hole. Yep, there goes all of those theories, mm-hmm. right? We're learning as we go. There's nothing really set in stone. Things change. This is before you were even born, Abby. Back in the day, eggs were amazing for you. You just eat all the eggs. And then there was a point, I think it was like in the early 80s, it's like, oh, no, eggs are bad. They're gonna kill you. Don't eat a bunch of eggs. Then now it's like, no. Actually, eggs are good for you. We figure stuff out. Like we never stop learning, you know?
Yeah.
You did say something. You said that you were looking for, you know, like purpose, and you wanted to help. And you are doing some amazing things, I might add, Abby. Would you like to share with the people some of the amazing, awesome things that you're doing?
So when I went off to have brain surgery, which was postponed because of COVID, it was fun. Yeah. Waited 6.5 years for a diagnosis. I get a surgery on the books, and then scheduled in March 2020. We all know what happened in March 2020. on my birthday, actually, the world fell apart on my birthday. And so, yeah. So I was like, okay, more people are going to be looking at my social media than usual. They want to know what's going on. I want to use this for good. I can accomplish something with this. And so I started a Just Giving, my mom and I, for CMU. And the response was amazing. Our goal was $200 and we ended up raising $3,000. And yeah, and we kind of, CMU got in contact with us. We started talking and I ended up becoming an ambassador for CMU. And something I feel particularly passionate about is CMU's belief in a holistic approach to recovery. Because after all, we are greater than the sum of our parts. So we have to treat the whole person, not just the brain, but the body, the brain, the mind. And so in order to turn survival into truly living, many of us need everything from social and psychological support to vocational support to physical, occupational, speech, and cognitive therapies. Plus, I love that everything they do is informed by survivors' voices. Like they collected over 1,400 stories from survivors from all over the world and analyzed them to figure out what are the most important things that are missing from our recovery journeys and what we truly need. And that report will actually be coming out soon. But they use that information in everything that they do, to inform everything that they do. Like right now they're funding a 3-year study at Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital, Boston, looking into the interplay of physical, psychological, and social challenges that we face. Mm-hmm. And it's they're going where, you know, people haven't gone before, which is exciting. Right. Then there's the project that I have been involved in as of late.
You mean the amazing, incredible project that I am very excited about that you're involved with? That one?
Yeah. So this goes back to my person, my best friend, my platonic soulmate, Jess Mountfield. She's an animator, features the voices of 33 brain injury survivors from across the world talking about their stories. It is so magnificent and powerful, and I'm really excited for everyone to be able to see it. It will come out at the start of October. If you want to see it as soon as it comes out, you can go to thaymu.org and go to press the little join us link and enter your information to join SAMU's global community of survivors and caregivers and get notified as soon as that arrives. And we're hoping that survivors will have their experiences reflected and will feel truly seen. And that hopefully it can help motivate normies to show up for the survivors and caregivers in their lives and give them a little taste of what life as us is like.
Yeah.
So, you know, no pressure, Jess. But
yeah, no pressure, Jess. Just don't mess this up.
But yeah, that's it. It's one of those things that it is that, you know, once in a lifetime, like, wake up and I'm like, how did I get here? You know, how did all this come to be?
It's a blur. It's a blur. Yeah. It's like you have a brain injury. Yeah. You know what?
Imagine that.
I'm really excited about this because you mentioned it's several different people. You mm-hmm. know, it's so many different survivor stories. And I'm a big advocate of we have to share our story. We have to. And I've come across so many people who are like, well, you know, it's not that interesting. No, your story is so interesting. Not only that, there are so many people out there that are going through the exact same thing that you are. They don't know you exist. You don't know they exist because you guys have to share your stories. We have to be able to connect on this level, you know? And I think connection is so important. That's what I think is so beautiful about this project, you know? And also, speaking of connecting, I'm going to point out one of my favorite jerk-ass friends is Mackenzie. And I remember I connected you and Mackenzie, and I think you guys have become like pretty cool people, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a certain connection that we have in our community where people are going through, it's like-minded individuals. You guys are mm-hmm. both way too young to be going through all of the shit that you have gone through, you know? And it's just nice to know that you guys are out there experiencing this and you don't have to experience it alone. You know, you have someone else out there. That's why I think it's so important that all of us need to communicate, to reach out, to talk about this stuff, get a dialogue going. And that's just for us in the community. Outside of the community, normies need to hear what we go through. They need to know that,
yes.
Hey, we don't need everything. We need a little bit. That's all we need. And it's not even a little bit extra. It's just a little, it's the same energy, just slightly different. That's all it is.
And you normies, unless you're a doctor, you don't need to understand what happened or is going on with us physiologically. You just need to know what we are going through as a human being. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. Instead, like they need to hear like justification, like there's some insurance that like they're approving you for insurance, and they're like, okay, is this reason, is what they went through valid? Do they deserve my compassion or my help? And it's like, you just need to listen and believe people.
Right. Most importantly, you just need to respect the other side, you know? Now, a lot of times, hey, just because you feel that you wouldn't react this way, that's fine for you. It's not happening to you. It's not, you know? Like, to me, losing a pen, it's like, whatever, there's a million pens out there. To someone out there, losing a pen is devastating. It will destroy their world for however long. I don't look at that person as ridiculous. I don't think it's a big deal, but it's not happening to me.
No, you know?
With me, it's creamer, 100%. It's just coconut creamer, Joe. No. It's part of my routine, which is part of the bigger picture. You just have to look at the what's happening. You don't have to understand these things. You just have to respect that something is happening to the other side. So just show a little bit of compassion, a tiny bit, guys, a very small bit of compassion and kindness can change lives. Like, it can. We don't need you to understand. We just need you to respect that we go through some stuff sometimes. And that in and of itself, it's so helpful to all of us. Like, it really is. And as awful as some people can be, we don't want you to understand what this is like, because it's horrific. You know, it's not good. It's really not. We don't need you to understand. We just need you to respect that. Yeah. Like, hey, that must be hard. That's cool to say.
I think there's this like disconnect where they understand that reading 1,000 war stories, interviewing 100 veterans, like, they're not going to understand what going through war is like, but somehow they think that they understand what we've gone through, and it leads to misunderstandings and miscommunication and relationships falling apart. And it's like, you don't need to understand. You just listen and you just show up.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I don't think we really even understand what's happening to us.
No.
Because it's so, what's the best way to put this, Abby? It's fucking crazy. Yeah. It's so insane.
It's a mindfuck.
It really is. It doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't change the fact that it's happening to us. Mm-hmm. We're having trouble figuring out what's happening to us. We can't really explain that to you. And clearly there's no possible way that you would ever really understand, even if we could explain it to you, you know? So just a little bit of kindness, a little bit of understanding, you know, maybe do a little bit of research. You know, what's a good place to start? Go to Same You, check out some of these stories, do a little research on your own, just so you know how to maybe connect and talk to people in our community. Look, we're all amazing people. I say that, us with brain injuries, like, we're the new rock stars. I say it all the time. Like, we're the cool kids, part of the cool kids club.
You know,
yeah, just wait till we start the brain injury cult and Abby and I go around hitting normies over the head with metal poles. Oh, it's gonna be so much fun. Abby, disclaimer, joking because I'm an idiot. You know, spoiler alert, I'm not an evil person. I'm just an idiot. So like literally, I think it's amazing what you're doing, Abby, because again, I can't stress this enough. You can just sit back and just be angry at life because of when it hit you and how hard it hit you. But you've chosen to shift that energy. You do it with a sense of humor. You do it with a smile on your face. Not only that, you're choosing to help others that are going through what you're going through, not go what you went through. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you're like, yeah, I struggled. I don't want anybody else to struggle. So I'm going to do my best to like help out the community. That is just such, that just explains who you are as a person. And that just, I just have such, I'm so impressed by you as a human being. Like, I really am. Like, and I'm inspired by your attitude and your fight. Like, it's really beautiful to watch. And I'm so thankful that we connected and we met. It's always nice to connect with another brain injury survivor, but like, it's always really cool to become friends. And I think you and I have become friends, and I love that. Like, it really means the world to me. And at this point, we are the neuro nerds over here, Abby. I would like to know, and I kind of know a little bit, what's your nerdom?
So I was born into my nerddom. My mom wrote Star Trek books. She,
hey!
Yeah. That's awesome. She saw Star Wars in theaters dozens of times. It's, you know, so it's in my blood. I'd say my biggest lifelong nerddom was Harry Potter. I haven't been so into Harry Potter as of late because of various things that have happened in the universe. Cursed child. Anyway, but we watch Lord of the Rings every Christmas. I like to refer to our like support teams as our fellowship. I think we all have.
Yeah. Who was I? Was I Gimli?
I think you wanted to be.
I was Pippin or Merry.
Yeah. You wanted to be Éomer, but I was like, he's not in the fellowship. And I ended up putting you as Gimli, but I think I've changed you to Gandalf because you're kind of like the Gandalf of the brain injury community, I feel like. Plus, you know, you're tall. You hang out with a bunch of like short people.
I do, a bunch of pocket-sized people. I've got some of the platinum in my beard, right?
Yep.
I can be Jodoff the platinum.
Yeah, you bring people together. My mom's definitely Sam. Jess is probably Aragorn. I enjoy great storytelling.
Yes. Yes. Also, you mentioned Doctor Who, and I don't know if you know Bill Monroe from Shrokast. Mm-hmm. Biggest Doctor Who fan, like the biggest. And I remember I was on his podcast and he asked me, he was like, "So Joe, what's your doctor?" And I went into this whole thing with different doctors. And then I settled on Doctor Strange being my doctor. And immediately after the podcast was over, I was like, I think he was talking about Doctor Who. And I'm not like the biggest Doctor Who guy. So the fact that you were like spitting some Doctor Who stuff, I was like, oh, you and Bill got to talk Doctor Who, because I feel like I failed in my nerddom that I couldn't really just impressively speak on Doctor Who.
You have a brain injury.
I do have a brain injury. I know certain things with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Just not.
I don't know Marvel like you do. It's like we each have our passions.
You were almost perfect, Abby. You were almost perfect.
I feel like the nerddoms that I'm not into are your main ones: Star Wars, 100%. And Marvel.
Literally, yeah. Can you see in the background? I've got Jango Fett hanging out on my wall. I literally have Star Wars tattoos. Mm-hmm. I have Marvel tattoos. Like it's life. It's pretty soon I might have a MCU tattoo on my forehead. I might go crazy, Abby. Who knows?
Just advertise you're crazy to the world.
Have you seen me? I advertise my crazy just with the look on my face. So Abby, I gotta tell you, I'm just constantly impressed by you. I'm inspired by you regularly. Honestly, you really have impressed the absolute fuck out of me. I'm so thankful that we connected. I am. And it's at this point in the show that I normally give out our socials. So for Abby, you can reach out to Abby at headstrong.stories on Instagram. Did I get that right?
Yes. And you can check out our blog where we interview brain injury survivors and caregivers and providers.
Boom. Some amazing stories out there. Some of the greatest people in the world. Some of the most amazing epic stories in the world. You can also check out some of the things that Abby's doing at sameyou.org. Impressive. I'm always excited. That's an incredible organization, and it's been put together by the mother of aneurysms, Amelia Clark herself. Yes, I dubbed her that. You can reach out to the mother of all concussions, my beautiful tiny ass kicking co-host Lauren at Lauren L. Manzano on Instagram. You can reach out to me at Joso Rocks on all the socials. You can reach out to us, the Neuro Nerds, at I always say at everywhere, and Felice is like, no, it's not at everywhere, it's at the Neuro Nerds. Okay, at the Neuro Nerds on all the socials. And on this incredible, awesome Abby, I'm so thankful for you. I am so sad that this is the hand that you were dealt, but I am so proud of every step that you've taken to get to this point. It's honestly, it's inspiring. I adore you. You're an incredible human being. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being on the podcast. And on that loving, caring, Joe really appreciates Abby note, this Neuro Nerd is out. Nailed it. How was that, Abby? Pretty good, right?
Yeah. I think I blacked out. I don't know what I was talking about. Honestly.
If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. Your reviews help us grow and reach more listeners like you.
Find us by searching for the Neuro Nerds on the Apple Podcast app today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.